Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Shaping up to be a beautiful Thursday evening here at the ballpark. Quad Cities in South Bend, Indiana, ready for game three of its six-game series against the High A affiliate of the Chicago Cubs, the South Bend Cubs. Good evening, everybody. As always, Kyle Kirchville with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're tuned in from tonight, thanks so much for joining us for game 18 of the River Bandits 2024 campaign and the third of six between the Bandits and South Bend. Quad Cities remains red hot. The best team in the Midwest League enters tonight 13-4 and winners of 11 of their last 12 ball games. Quad Cities is now officially off to its best start in franchise history through 17 games since at least 2005. The Bandits had been keeping pace with the 2015 Bandits squad over the first 17 games, or I should say the first 16 games of the year, but with the win yesterday, the Bandits have passed them, and they have a nice two-game lead atop the Midwest League West Division here early in the season. Victory number 13, a lucky 13 for Quad Cities last night, a game where pitching and defense was key for the Bandits. The starter for Quad Cities, Ben Kuderna, of course, has been one of the best pitchers in the Midwest League to start the year. He gave the Bandits five innings of two-run ball, just one of those runs earned on five hits, two walks, and six strikeouts. He wound up getting the win on a night where the Bandits really got one big swing. In fact, it was their only extra base hit, but it was enough to get the win 4-2. The big swing in the sixth inning. The first High A homer and the first River Bandits homer of the career for Omar Hernandez. A three-run shot with two strikes on him in the sixth made Quad Cities take the lead for the first time in the ball game after they entered the inning down 2-1. South Bend got off to an early lead in the first inning on an RBI groundout from Yohendrick Pinyongo, but then the Bandits responded in the second with an RBI single from Dustin Dickerson, who's been one of the best run swingers, or run producers, I should say, for Quad Cities over the last five or six games or so. In the bottom of the fifth, South Bend got to Kuderna for a final time. It was originally an RBI single for Rayvaj Garcia, but officially, it was ruled a single with an error allowing Casey Opitz to score from second as the catcher Omar Hernandez couldn't make the catch on a nice throw from left field by Gene Ramirez. Opitz wins the play at the plate to give South Bend that 2-1 lead. But as I mentioned, in the sixth, Omar would make up for it with that three-run shot, and that's all Quad Cities would need for the win. After Ben Kuderna, Cooper McKeon, Nathaniel Garabitos, and Ben Sears would combine for four scoreless innings out of the bullpen, McKeon and Garabitos earned their first holds of the year, and Ben Sears converted on his third save in three opportunities, a nice six-out lockdown for the former University of Houston product. Time to take a break here on the River Bandits pregame show. When we come back, we'll get you tonight's starting lineups ahead of Game 3 of this six-game series. We'll also tell you about the starters. Both are ranked number 25 in terms of prospect status in their respective organizations. Steven Zoback and Brody McCullough will do battle tonight. Should be another good pitching matchup. The pregame show continues in just a moment here on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
River Bandits baseball is back on the air tonight for a Thursday night matchup against the South Bend Cubs here at Four Winds Field in South Bend, Indiana. Once again, good evening, everybody. Kyle Kirchville with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're tuned in from tonight, so glad you're here for Game 18 of the Bandits 2024 campaign and Game 3 of this six-game series. The Bandits already have two wins under their belt this week. They got an 8-5 win against the Cubs on Tuesday, and then yesterday a 4-2 victory to improve their record to a Midwest League best 13-4. Brody McCullough will look to quiet the River Bandits bats tonight as the South Bend starter. He's the number 25 prospect in the Cubs organization, according to MLB Pipeline. And he's in his first season here in High A since last year when he got just a cup of coffee here with the South Bend Cubs. He made 9 starts for Chicago's High A affiliate, posting a 4.25 ERA, but suffered a season-ending injury, which had him on the shelf until as recently as April this year. He started the year on the injured list, was officially activated on the 19th, and after making his debut out of the bullpen that day against the Beloit Skycarp up at ABC Supply Stadium, he makes his first start of 2024 tonight. Carson Rockefort, the leadoff man for Quad Cities, per usual, just outside the left-handed box, ready to go. Carter Jensen waits on deck. Brett Squires in the hole. McCullough will work out of the windup. The first pitch of the ball game is on its way home, and it's launched to deep right field. This one hooking towards the pole, and it goes foul. Rockefort trying to ambush McCullough with a hearty hack to start the game, but he was just a bit in front. Rockefort, the number 16 prospect in the Royals organization, according to MLB Pipeline. He is just 1-for-11 to start the week. A 1. Up and in with a fastball. 1-1. McCullough is 23 years old and was a 10th round selection by the Cubs in the draft in 2022. As Rocca takes high, it's 2 balls and 1 strike. He was drafted out of Wingate University, which is in Wingate, North Carolina. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. Popped over the left side, out of play, foul. Put together some really good college seasons as a Bulldog, pitching in the South Atlantic Conference. A career 2.95 ERA at the NCAA Division II level. Here's the 2-2 to a former Ragin' Cajun. Swing and a miss. He went upstairs for the fastball, and Rockefort chases him for strike 3. Last year, or 2 seasons ago, I should say, his final summer at Wingate, McCullough posted a 2.40 earned run average, 1 year removed from winning a Division II national championship with the Bulldogs in 2021. Carter Jensen now at the plate. 1 out, bases empty. First pitch fastballs taken outside. He really cemented his status as a big league prospect in the summer of 2022, pitching in the Cape Cod Baseball League. 1-0. Just outside, 2 balls and no strikes. He pitched for the Hyannis Harbor Hawks, made 5 starts out on the Cape, posted a 2.70 earned run average. Jensen, the Royals' number 10 prospect, he awaits the 2-0 and takes outside. The fastball missed. It's 3-0. Jensen with a 3-knock night, including a triple on Tuesday, 1-for-4 with a single yesterday. 3-0 pitch from McCullough. A swing from Jensen, and he fouls it back to the screen. Seldom would you see Carter swing away in a 3-0 count last year, but Royals have challenged him to be a little more aggressive this season, and it seems like he has swung in every 3-0 count he has seen in 2024. Still in the driver's seat as McCullough fires the 3-1, and it's taken outside, ball 4. Jensen gets the walk anyways. Carter, top 10 in all of minor league baseball in walks since 2022. That free pass nets him his 12th walk of the season. That mark leads the team. So a man aboard with one out for Brett Squires, the three-hole hitter. Moves back into that spot after hitting cleanup yesterday. McCullough out of the stretch. First pitch up and away. Ball one. Squires with three hits in the series, including an RBI single on Tuesday. Yesterday, one for four with a single and a run scored. 1-0. Fastball blown past him. A swing and a miss for strike one. Brett, 24 years old, a native of Fort Worth, Texas. Has been with the Royals since he signed as an undrafted free agent back in July of 2022. Jensen away from first, a good base runner. A throw in that direction. Long slaps the tag on him, but Jensen's back safely. First pitch temperature tonight here in South Bend. A tremendous and much welcome change of pace. 58 degrees, sunny skies, not a cloud visible. McCullough's 1-1. It's fouled over the third base dugout, out of play. A 246 average for Squires this year. A couple of doubles, a couple of homers, and eight driven in. He's also stolen five base paths to help Bandits lead the league with 41. 1-2 count. McCullough sets at the belt, the pitch. Swing and a miss. More high cheddar. This time it's Squires chasing. And the lively fastball gets out number two. That heater for McCullough ranges from 91 to 95. That was perfectly placed just above the belt of Squires, and he couldn't quite get there. So runner at first, two outs in the top of the first. Cale Emshoff, the Bandits DH, in the box, batting cleanup. The pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. For Emshoff, this is game number 207 as a River Bandit. That ties him with Gerard Gonzalez for the most games played in Quad Cities in the franchise's history as a Royals affiliate. 0-1. Low and outside with what looked like a changeup. It's 1-1. McCullough's got that traditional four-pitch mix, the heater, the curveball, the slider, and a changeup. Still working on refining some of his off-speed. Throw over to first, back with a dive, Jensen. The throw from McCullough low, but held on to by Long. This is the 10th game played this season for Emshoff. He's hitting 250 with a double and three driven in. Hit a big swing for Quad Cities back on Tuesday. 1-1. Fastball just outside. It's 2-1. Emshoff had the game-tying swing in the top of the ninth inning in the series opener. Remember, Quad Cities went into that ninth inning trailing 5-3, but they scored five runs in the ninth inning to eventually win. 2-1. Fastball, a called strike at the bottom of the zone. 2-2. Emshoff was not on the lineup card yesterday, so he's coming in fresh off that outing, if you will. Cale has some great history against these South Bend Cubs. He dominated at Four Winds Field in the Bandits' last series of the season last year. Runner at first, two outs, 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Another elevated fastball. And all three strikeouts for Brody McCullough are picked up with the high cheese. Quad City strands Jensen at first base. Nothing through one half frame here at Four Winds Field. Steven Zoback out to the hill when we come back.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
reigning Midwest League Pitcher of the Week, Steven Zoback, ready to defend his crown here at Fort Wins Field. The Bandits and Cubs scoreless as we enter the bottom of the first. Zoback has put together three terrific starts to begin his summer with the Bandits. He is 1-0 with a 1.20 ERA, 13 strikeouts to just 3 walks. And last week against Peoria, the series in which he won the Pitcher of the Week award, he retired the first 17 batters he faced. Was nearly perfect, eventually gave up a hit, but nothing else in 6 scoreless innings. Brett Bateman leads off the bottom of the first for South Bend. Cubs center fielder takes low for ball one. Seldom will Zoback not throw it in the zone. Last week against Peoria, 59 pitches, just 13 balls. The 1-0 grounded foul back to the backstop. It's 1-1. That is a strike percentage of 78%. Just 59 pitches for Zoback to get through 6 innings. One of the best pitching performances and most efficient pitching performances I've ever witnessed. 1-1. That's high to Bateman. 2-1. Bateman has reached base in 5 straight games for South Bend, and when he plays against Quad Cities, he's almost always on base. Here's the 2-1. Fouled over the left side. 2-2. With 2 hits and a walk yesterday, Bateman is 9-17 against Quad Cities this year. He's got 7 walks in 5 games to go along with that. 2-2. Breaking ball in the air, left center field. Slicing away from Rockeford, he moves into the alley, pulls up, and the ball lands. Bateman into second base with a double as neither Rockeford nor Ramirez communicated. Rockeford pulled up like he thought Gene was going to take it, and Gene never reached out. So even when the ball's in play and an available out for Quad Cities, Brett Bateman finds himself a hit. 4th double of the year for him, and an early defensive miscue by one of, if not the best defensive team in the Midwest League. So a man at second and nobody out for Rafael Morel. Morel, the right-handed hitting right fielder, the brother of Chicago Cub, Christopher Morel. First pitch. Swing and a miss. Good slider from Zoback. 0-1. Bandits defensively, Ramirez, Rockeford, Dickey from left to right in the outfield. Dickerson's at short, Johnson's at second. Pineda back at third base for the second time. Squires at first, Carter Jensen doing the catching. 0-1. Inside with a fastball, 1-1. Morel not in the lineup yesterday for Nick Lovello, but hit second for the Cubs in the series opener. Went 0-4 with a sacrifice bunt. Zoback in the stretch, the 1-1. Fastball right back into the screen. And it's 1-2. Zoback, 23 years old, a 4th-round pick back in 2022 by the Kansas City Royals. 6'2", 200 pounds, and a native of San Jose, California. Look back to Bateman, 1-2. Just low and outside. 2-2. David Sabol is the home plate umpire for game 3 of this set. Nobu Yasuta on the base paths. Runner at second, no one out in the bottom of the first. Scoreless game thus far. Zoback looking for his first strikeout. The pitch gets a whiff. Strike 3. That split finger tips into the dirt. And Zoback has that first K. That is a really good pitch for Zoback. We saw him lean on that a whole heck of a lot last week against the Chiefs. He had those 6 strikeouts in 6 innings, but he worked a plethora of ground balls as well. So now 1 out in a man at second for Jefferson Rojas. First pitch grounded back up the middle. It's going to get into center for a base hit. Bateman around third base. He scores without a throw. It's 1-0 South Bend. Jefferson Rojas on his 19th birthday. Picks up an RBI single, ribby number 12 for him. That leads South Bend thus far. And for Zoback, that's the first run he's given up since April 13th. Rojas has been one of the best hitters, not only for South Bend, but in the Midwest League to start the year, and he's been doing all of it at just 18. Here's Yohendrick Pinyongo, another youngster. He takes a called strike one. You may hear that name and think there's no way Pinyongo's a youngster. He's been here in South Bend for now parts of four seasons. That's true. He is still just 21 years old. He knows a thing or two about being a kid in this league. A one. There's a strike on the outside edge. Nothing in two. That hit for Rojas gives him a Midwest League best 12-game hit streak. During this stretch, he's hitting over 400. Sobacks, 0-2. Fouled off the dugout on the left side. It ricochets off the padding and over towards third base where Jack Pineda picks it up. I was talking with Brooks Conrad about Pineda playing third base yesterday. He was thrilled with what he saw from Jack. Quad City's infield had a really good night as a whole, and Pineda a big part of it. Here comes the 0-2 to Pinyongo. No, it's a throw to first, and back standing Rojas. The significance in Brooks being pleased with Pineda, based on the fact that Jack, not once in his career, had played third base before yesterday. Now the 0-2. Pinyongo sends it over the left side. I asked Jack during batting practice today if he had played third, at least in high school. He said nope. Always been shortstop or second base. But he looked very comfortable at third. Another 0-2. Another foul ball. Pinyongo sends it over the left side. Brooks Conrad, of course, former big league infielder, played second and third base back in his playing days. I asked Brooks which one he liked playing more. Said he preferred second base, but third was a lot of fun. Another 0-2. Off goes Rojas. This one dribbled weakly to the right side. It's off the foot of Pinyongo, foul. And Zoback will flip it towards the first base dugout for a new baseball. He said third base is all about reactions. You just got to be on your toes, and that's what makes it fun. But he said for Jack, he is such a pure, excellent shortstop that you could put him at second or third, and he plays better than the usual starter there. Brooks envious of Jack's infield skills. Another 0-2. Line drive over Johnson into right field. Yohendrick Pinyongo wins a seven-pitch battle against Steven Zoback. That is already the Cubs' third hit here in the first inning. Well, South Bend has out-hit the River Bandits in the series. They out-hit him yesterday 10-5. It hasn't been the quantity of hits that's been the problem for the Cubs. It's been the quality. Cubs with a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first. Men at first and second and one away for Felix Stevens, the five-hole hitter. First pitch from Zoback is inside, ball one. Rojas at second, Pinyongo at first. Zoback's 1-0 pitch. Fastball, low and outside, 2-0. Cubs in the series, out-hitting Quad Cities 22-16, but the Bandits are batting .421 with runners in scoring position. The Cubs, 111. It's all about timeliness. The pitch inside pops out of the glove of Jensen, but both runners hold. Felix has played in each of the first two games this week, recording a lone single in each contest. A 176 hitter on the year, but two of his six hits have gone over the fence. 3-0. That is inside for ball four. That'll load the bases with one out. And Steven Zoback gives up an extremely rare four-pitch walk. And that's going to send Quad City's pitching coach, Derek Lewis, out to the hill. Very strange start to the game for Zoback, who even when he doesn't have his best stuff, pounds the strike zone. He's already thrown the ball 22 times in this first inning. He only has one out to show for it. And after this meeting is broken up by David Sabol, the home plate umpire, it'll be the switch hitting third baseman Pedro Ramirez, who looks to take advantage of another early scoring opportunity for South Bend. Cubs scored in the first inning yesterday. They scored in the first inning Tuesday. And they've got a 1-0 lead in the opening frame tonight. So DeLuz on his way back to the third base dugout. And now Steven Zoback will re-toe the rubber, communicating with his third baseman Pineda about what I'm not sure, perhaps bunt defense. Now they're on the same page. Everyone just sort of getting their bearings straight. The umpire's communicating, now giving a thumbs up, ready to go. So here's Ramirez, switch hitter, bats left, bases loaded, one out. First pitch. That slider dips in for strike one. The fastball for Zoback in the mid-90s, we've seen it touch 97 before. Then the horizontal pitch, the slider, and the very vertical split finger change. A one. Fastball back into the screen. Ramirez falls behind, nothing at two. Pedro is the Cubs' number 16 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. Another young guy on Nick Lavello's squad. He is just 20 years old, and he turned 20 earlier this month. 0-2. Grounder to first, gloved by Squires. He goes to second for one. Relay to first, gets past Zoback. One run's already in, and now Pinyongo scrambles home. The Cubs take a 3-0 lead. Rojas had already scored on the play, but then Dickerson's throw to Zoback just was not caught. I'm not sure if it was a bad throw or if Zoback didn't see it, but it looked pretty basic based on how Zobie was standing, but it just flew right past him. So that's definitely going to be a throwing error on Dickerson. It's just the Bandits' ninth of the season as a team. And Dickerson's second. First pitch swing from Jonathan Long comes up empty. Taking a look at the replay, I'm not sure what went wrong there. It's got to be an error somewhere. Who it's charged to, I'm not sure. And it looks like the official scorer tonight has deemed it an E6. Runner at first, two outs, the pitch. Off goes Stevens. The throw low, the toss to second, not in time. Correction, that's Pedro Ramirez swiping second base. And for Ramirez, that's his third stolen base of the series, having taken two on Tuesday. Things unraveling early for Quad Cities. And South Bend further forcing the issue. Zoback gets a new baseball in hand. Now peers in towards Jensen. 1-1 count on the Cubs' first baseman. The pitch. Check swing. Split finger was low and outside. He did not go. It's 2-1. The second River Bandits error of the, excuse me, the third error for the River Bandits this series. 2-1. High drive, left center field and deep. Ramirez and Rockeford back. They won't get to it. It's gone. A home run. A long home run from Jonathan Long, his first of the year. And South Bend has put up a 5 spot here in the opening frame. Boy, that feels like it just came out of nowhere. Zoback left to pitch, middle in. Long opened up the hips and got the barrel right to it. Here's the eighth hitter of the inning for South Bend, Ethan Hearn. Two outs, bases clear. First pitch. Wave and a miss. Split finger change. Strike one. A two-run homer for Johnny Long, and now Quad Cities has been forced to get a man up in the bullpen. Oh, one pitch. Swing and a miss. Nothing in two. Looks like it's the lefty, Oscar Rayo, who is starting to get loose. Time called by plate umpire David Sabol. Earn out, adjusting his batting gloves. Now back in. Seventh game of the year for Hearn, his first in the series. So back, so two. Called strike three, lower inside corner. A three-pitch strikeout to end the inning for Steven Zoback, but the damage has been done. The Cubs score five runs on four hits with one error, and the Bandits look at their largest first-inning deficit of the season. To the second we go on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with the events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. The River Bandits have an early hole to dig out of. Entering the second, it's already 5-0 South Bend. Jared Dickey leads off the top of the second against Brady McCullough. And the first pitch is fouled off his foot for strike one. Cubs brought eight men to the plate against Steven Zoback. Score five runs on four hits, including a two-run homer for Jonathan Long. And the Bandits' ninth error of the season. 0-1 to Dickey, slapped foul over the third base dugout, and it's nothing and two. Jared does not have a hit this week, but in the first two games of the series, he's 0-for-4 with four walks. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Another foul ball, this one straight back. Correction, five walks this week for Dickey. He got four free passes on Tuesday, the most in any game for River Bandit this season. Another two-strike toss. Breaking ball pulled into right field. That's a base hit. Nice work from Jared Dickey. Fouled off a couple of tough pitches and then winds up on first base with Quad City's first knock of the ball game. So a man on with nobody away and Dustin Dickerson up to the plate. Dustin, the River Bandit's shortstop, just committed the error in the last inning, but at the plate, he's been terrific over the last week or so. McCullough's pitch, a fastball that pops the glove of the catcher Hearn for strike one. Dickerson, after picking up another RBI yesterday, has now driven in a run in five of his last six games. 0-1. Bit inside, 1-1. During this six-game stretch, Dickerson's hitting .375 with a .500 on base percentage. He's been able to work some walks in there as well. 1-1. Breaking ball missed up. It slipped out of the fingers of McCullough. Plate discipline and patience. A big name of the game for Quad Cities this week. We talked on Tuesday about how the Cubs pitching staff is tops in all of high A in terms of whip and walks. as this one's cut on and missed. Strike two. They're tops in the wrong way. They have the worst whip in the league and the most walks in the league. So as a result, Bandits hitters just need to be a little bit more patient, and if you have to take a strike here or there, that's okay. 2-2 to Dickerson. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Fourth K of the ball game for McCullough. All of his outs have been by way of the K. Before the game, I was talking with Kansas City Royals hitting coordinator Drew Saylor. He was talking about this team being the South Bank Cubs and saying, yeah, there's somebody that you just need to not chase around the zone. Make them come to you. Here's Jack Pineda for the Bandits. First pitch. Been outside. And what he means by don't chase through the zone or don't chase around the zone, Cubs' arms may not be super command heavy. So just because you're seeing a strike throw to first base, not in time, Dickey back with a dive. Just because you're seeing a strike show up here and there doesn't mean it's a quality strike you need to swing at. If the guy's out there on the hill throwing less than 50% strikes, it's okay to take one. Get yourself into the right count. 1-0 pitch, high and away. Don't let your eyes light up too big when you finally see one in the zone. Pineda, the Bandits' third baseman, made his debut at that position yesterday. Hits second for the second time this season as he takes a called strike. Jack now hitting seventh tonight. On the year, batting .211, but with an OPS of .756. He's got a double, a triple, and a homer. Dickey still at first, 2-1. Fastball just outside, 3-1. McCullough gave up a walk in the first inning to Carter Jensen, but then struck out both Squires and Emshoff to strand him and bring South Bend to the plate where they put up a five-run frame. 3-1. Scooped foul over the left side, and I think Pineda may have just chased ball four. It was a slider below the knees. So with a full count and one out, I wouldn't be shocked to see Dickey on the move. Jared has swiped five bases in five attempts this summer. He's got his lead. He's not going. And the 3-2 to Pineda is grounded to short. Garcia gobbles it up. A flip to Rojas for one. Around the horn to first for a double play. Well, that's what happens if you don't send the runner in that situation. The twin killing helps McCullough face the minimum in the top of the second. South Bend remains in front. 5-0 here on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Two scoreless innings to start the day for the Bandits offense. The South Bend Cubs offense up 5-0 as we enter the bottom of the second inning. Quad Cities gave up a five spot in the home half of the first, the most runs they've given up in a frame all year. Ravage Garcia leads it off in this inning. He grounds one to short. Backhand stop Dickerson. A throw from deep in the hole is not quite in time. Garcia beats it out for an infield single. Well, Zoback got the ground ball he was looking for, but Garcia put it really nicely between Dickerson and Pineda. Tip of the cap to Dusty, just forgetting that one in the first place. But his throw to first, not strong enough, and the Cubs have their fifth hit of the game. So leadoff base runner on for the leadoff man, Brett Bateman. First pitch in the air, flared towards the left field corner. Sprinting near the line, Ramirez, he pulls up and watches the ball go into the seats. That one sliced into the picnic area down the left field line, just behind the Bandits bullpen. Bateman now 10 for 18 against Quad Cities this year. His OPS north of 1,200 when facing the Bandits. He had a double against Zoback in the first inning. Double play depth for the Bandits infield. 0-1. Grounded to short. Dickerson's got it. Flipped to Johnson. Over to first. Double play. 14th of the year for the River Bandits and their fourth in the last two ball games. They turned a season high 3 yesterday. And with the 6-4-3 tonight, they eliminate Garcia and keep Bateman off the base paths for just the 9th time this year. Here's Rafael Morel. He'll take low and outside, ball one. Morel, the right fielder for the Cubs, a swinging strikeout back in the first inning. One of two for Steven Zoback. The pitch popped him up center of the infield. The shortstop, Dustin Dickerson, takes charge, takes a step to his left, and makes the catch to end the inning. That is exactly the bounce-back frame that Zoback needed. He gives up the leadoff single, but then a double play and a pop-up help him face the minimum. To the third we go, 5-0 Cubs.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
South Bend has a 5-0 lead as we start the third. Quad Cities will bring the 8, 9, and 1 hitters to the plate. Johnson, Ramirez, and Rockefeller to face Brody McCullough, who's given up a base runner in each of his first two innings tonight, but has struck out 4, and neither base runner's made it beyond first. Right on right, he starts the inning against Justin Johnson. First pitch on its way. Low and outside, a ball one. JJ getting the start at second base where we usually see him. It's his team high 11th start of the season there. 1-0. Low and outside. 2 balls. No strikes. Johnson hitless in the game yesterday. But boy, did he hit the ball hard a couple of times. Here's the 2-0. Popped up. Left side of the infield. Third baseman camping under it, that's Pedro Ramirez, and he hauls it in for the out. Yesterday, Johnson crushed a ball to right center field that Brett Bateman tracked down just in front of the fence. He grabbed the ball and then slammed into the padding, fell down, and still held on to it. A tough luck out for JJ. That one earned by McCullough. One away, base is clear for Gene Ramirez, the left fielder. First pitch swinging, he'll bloop one to left field. Peñango started out, now coming in. He camps underneath, and there are two gone. A couple of quick outs for both pitchers in the last couple frames. And now the card flips back over to Carson Rockefort. Bandit center fielder, a swinging strikeout back in the first. McCullough delivers. There's a called strike at the knees. The Brodies put together a really solid minor league career, albeit just 27 outings. A one, low, one ball, one strike. He blasted through single A Myrtle Beach last year. A 2.86 ERA and 12 starts for the Pelicans. Earning himself 9 appearances here in South Bend to close out the summer. 1-1, pulled the first, knocked down by Long. He takes it over to first base, and the inning is over. Down go the Bandits, 1-2-3. Another scoreless inning for Brody McCullough. To the bottom of the third we go here at Four Winds Field. Cubs in front, 5-0. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931. But it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Their first three innings at the plate, the River Bandits have mustered just one hit against South Bend Cubs starter Brody McCullough. Chicago's number 25 prospect looking good in his first start of the season. 4 strikeouts in his first trip through the order. Steven Zoback is a couple of batters into his second trip through the Cubs order. Here in the bottom of the third, he'll get Rojas, Peñango, and Stevens. That's 3-4-5 for Nick Lovello. Right on right, first pitch to the birthday boy. A skied in the air, shallow right, charging in Dickey, and he makes the catch, eventually calling off Johnson. That's the first down. So lots of early swings from these teams over the last inning or so. Cubs brought 8 men to the plate and scored 5 runs in the first. But since then, Zoback has retired 5 of the last 6 he's faced. One out, nobody on for Peñango. Left fielder squares to bunt, but then pulls back and spins out of the way. The pitch is inside, ball one. Really good crowd on hand for this Thursday evening in South Bend. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Called strike, outer edge, 1-1. The picnic area in left field in particular filled up nicely, a large line at the Miller Lite Tiki Hut. 1-1, swing and a miss. Good splitter from Zoback, 1-2. It's also a big night here at South Bend. Discounted beer, that'll do it. 1-2 pitch is low and inside, 2-2 count. Another reason why, the sun is out. Gosh, it feels like the first time in a long time the Bandits haven't played underneath clouds and usually rain. 2-2. Ground ball to first base. Squires fields on a knee, flips to Zoback covering, and there are two down. So this looks more like the Steven Zoback that we saw last week against Peoria when he threw six near-perfect innings. He gets a lot of ground balls with that split-finger changeup. Now he'll try to get some revenge against Felix Stevens, the DH for the Cubs, whom he walked on four straight pitches back in the first. First toss, fouled over the right side, strike one. Cubs up 5-0 in the bottom of the third. Quad Cities already with a two-game lead in this six-game series. 0-1. Check swing, pitch outside. He did not go. And it's 1-1. A little bit of a breeze tonight. Flags in left center field, blowing from right to left field. Here comes the 1-1. That's a called strike. Bottom of the zone. It's 1-2. Stevens quickly back in the box. Zoback obliges. The pitch popped up right side. Squires feeling for the wall, navigating onto the track behind the dugout, reaches up and makes the catch. Nice work from Brett Squires and Steven Zoback. He's got himself a perfect inning. And we are through the first third of tonight's ball game. Cubs up big, 5-0. Fourth next.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. First third of the ball game complete here at Four Winds Field. Kyle Kirchville with you tonight on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Thrilled to have you along with us as we start the fourth. Quad Cities with some work to do. They trail the Cubs 5-0. Cubs scored all five of their runs in the first inning, but Steven Zoback has locked in since then. Carter Jensen leads off the frame against Brody McCullough, the Cubs starter. First pitch fastball's in there for strike one. Well, we've got clear skies and lots of sunshine here in South Bend. The same cannot be said for the big league club. 0-1 takes outside, 1-1. The Royals and Blue Jays had a game shortened after just five innings today. Here's the pitch. That's a called strike. That's right at the knees. A nice spot for McCullough. He's got Jensen down 1-2. Carter A walked back in the first inning, but he was left stranded. McCullough looking for his fifth K. The pitch. Ground ball to the right side. Gloved on the line by Long. He flips to McCullough covering, and he just beats Jensen to the bag. Nice defense from South Bend. First for Long. Fielding that one almost in foul territory. And then creating, or making, I should say, an accurate underhand toss to McCullough, who is racing over from the mound. That brings up Brett Squires. Base is empty, one away. First pitch out of the wind. Fouled into the glove of Hearn. Strike one. Royals beat the Blue Jays in five innings today. They went into a rain delay, but then never came out of it. Final score, 2-1. The pitch, low and inside, 1-1. Blue Jays scored a run in the fourth inning, but Salvador Perez's two-run shot in the bottom of the first, enough to get the win. The pitch. Low and outside, 2-1. Shout out to Royals Review on the app formerly known as Twitter. They provided a nice little fun fact today about this rain-shortened game. 2-1, grounded to first again. This one much easier for Long. He'll flip to McCullough covering. That's back-to-back 3-1s in your scorebook. Two down. Before today, the last time the Royals had a game shortened to just 5 innings due to weather was on July 18th, 2005. Royals lost that game to Cleveland. Royals are 6-6 with one tie in games that went 5 innings or less in club history. Here's Kale Emshaw, first pitch. Popped over the first base, out of play. Now you may hear tie and think, what? Well, under the old rules, if teams were tied in a rain-shortened game, all of the stats counted, but the game did not count in the standings. A 1. Above the belt, high, 1-0. Correction, 1-1. Now, of course, they would suspend the game if it didn't go 5 innings and move on. Pitch. Swing and a miss from Emshoff, 1-2. Different times in baseball, you get the old suspended game, which effectively allows you to play games in the past. It's funny how that works. McCullough looking for another 1-2-3 frame. 1-2 pitch. Up and in. Emshoff leans out of the way. Struck out swinging to end the Bandits half of the first, his first time up. McCullough gets the sign from Hearn. A nod of the head. Now here comes the wind. The 2-2. Laced deep left center field. Bateman going back. He'll have to play it off the wall. A one-hopper and a two-out double for Kale Emshoff. Second double of the year for him. And Quad City's second hit gives the Bandits a man in scoring position for the first time tonight. McCullough left a breaking ball up. And when you do that to Kale Emshoff, it usually winds up not so good for you. Catcher Hearn out there having a conversation with McCullough. He'll figure out how to retire Jared Dickey, who before that swing from Emshoff had Quad City's lone hit with a leadoff single in the second, which was later eliminated on the double play. But with the suspended game rules in baseball, you can think back to some of the Bandits throughout the last few years. If you start a game and don't get through 5 innings, you need to pick it up later. So say you get two and a half innings in, you suspend the game, then you make it up on a future date. But then all those stats and everything that happened in the suspended game all go retroactively to that game's original beginning day, if that makes sense. Dickey in the box, McCullough ready to pitch. He deals a called strike on the lower inside corner. Dickey didn't like the call. So you can have a guy entering that game with a 4-game hit streak, and then say he doesn't extend it during those first few innings. Here comes the 0-1 to Dickey. Line drive caught at third by Ramirez. That'll end the inning. If you pick up that game later, which you do in a suspended contest, and that guy gets a hit, even if he maybe went hitless in the games following the suspension, they still count towards that previous game, and he continues a hit streak. It's weird. You can play baseball in the past. Quad Cities down 5-0. We go to the bottom of the fourth on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodmen Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Set to begin the bottom of the fourth here at Four Winds Field. Kyle Kirchwell with you tonight. It's a beautiful, sunny Thursday evening here in the Hoosier State, wherever you're listening from. Hope the skies are friendly to you as well. Quad Cities trailing the Cubs 5-0. All five of the runs for South Bend came against Steven Zoback in the first inning. Since then, nothing on the board, and Zoback has dialed it in. Pedro Ramirez leads off the bottom of the fourth for the Cubs and takes high for ball one. 6, 7, and 8 due up. Ramirez, Long, and Hearn. Third baseman Pineda playing in. 1-0. Called strike on the outer edge. 1-1. Ramirez reached on an error back in the first inning, but did pick up an RBI. 1-1. Foul out of play. Correction for Ramirez. Reaches on a force out. An error on Dickerson allowed an additional run to score, but Ramirez got the first run with an RBI credited to it. Here's the pitch. Just low and inside. 2-2 count on Ramirez. So back. With two strikeouts thus far, he deals. Check swing, pitch low and in. He did not go. Nobu Yasuta says ball three on the appeal. Zoback has retired 5 in a row. He fires the payoff pitch, and Ramirez sends it over the left side, foul. Cubs with 5 runs on 5 hits. And it's no runs on 2 hits, and the game's only air. Another payoff. Ground ball foul to the right side in between the Cubs first base coach, Kyle Moore, and Brett Squires, the Bandits first baseman. A pesky at bat from Ramirez. He's batting 267 this year. Another 3-2 eventually leads to a walk. Ball four, fastball missed up and away. That is the second walk allowed today by Zoback. And it gives the Cubs their first base runner since the second inning. So a man aboard, no one out for Jonathan Long. First pitch slider drops in for a strike. Long really busted that first inning open with a 2-run homer, his first of the year. Set one on to the berm in left center field. Squires holds Ramirez. He's already got 3 stolen bases this week. 0-1 hit high and deep to right field, but Dickey's going to have room. He charges in a couple of steps and makes the catch. 1 down. Long can't reciprocate the power to right field. And now Ethan Hearn will come to the dish. Hearn, 23 years old, from Mobile, Alabama. Sixth-round pick by the Cubs in 2019. First two nights in this series, it's been Casey Opitz doing the catching. First pitch from Zoback. Ground ball under the diving Squires into right field. Johnson knocks it down in shallow right, holding Ramirez at second base. And that was a sneaky good play by J.J. Had that ball gotten past him and into Dickey's territory, Ramirez probably could have gone first to third, but Johnson chased it all the way down in shallow right, reached out with a bare hand, knocked it toward the infield, and forced Ramirez to stay put after just 90 feet. That's a heads-up play. It is also, though, the sixth hit of the game for the Cubs, and they're threatening for the first time since the opening inning. As time is called, the Cubs have now a right-hander warming up. As Brody McCullough, still probably not stretched down all the way. It's Sam Armstrong getting loose on the first base side. Remember, this is McCullough's second appearance of the year, but his first start. He's already at 56 pitches. First pitch to Ravaj Garcia is called strike one. Brody's been fantastic for the Cubs. Four scoreless innings, two hits, one walk, four Ks. A look to second from Zoback. Now he'll step off. Really long look for Zoback. He stared down Ramirez for about 6 or 7 seconds. Eventually decided he was going to step off and reset. A one. Low and inside with the splitter. It's 1-1. Quad Cities has done a good job of staying in games when they're not the team to score first. Of course, the Bandits scored second yesterday and still won the game. The pitch. Chopper to second, gloved by Johnson. He goes to Dickerson for one, on to first. It's another double play. Quad City's fifth in the last two ball games. Johnson to Dickerson to Squires, 4-6-3. Cubs done in the fourth, 5-0 Bandits.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
After four scoreless innings from Brody McCullough, the South Bend Cubs turn to the bullpen, and right-hander Sam Armstrong, who will begin the fifth inning against Dustin Dickerson, to be followed by Jack Pineda and Justin Johnson. Right on right, first pitch is a fastball right down the middle. Fourth appearance of the year for Armstrong, who's worked both out of the bullpen and as a starter to begin the year. A one. Slider in there for a called strike two. He has not allowed an earned run in 9 1/3 innings this year with 13 strikeouts as Dickerson asks for time. Final line for McCullough, four scoreless, two hits, one walk, four Ks. Under normal circumstances, he probably could have kept going, but still early in the year and not quite stretched down all the way. Armstrong's 0-2 sliders taken low and away by Dusty. Dickerson, a strikeout swinging against McCullough back in the second. Armstrong's out of the wind, the 1-2 pitch. Fastball up above the belt, 2-2. Armstrong, a former Old Dominion product, drafted by the Cubs in the 13th round last year. His 2-2 fired home. Another slider. This one a bit closer, but still outside. And the count runs full. I think of Old Dominion, I always think of Vinny Pasquantino, the Royals' first baseman. Payoff pitch. Fastball called. Strike three. This time Armstrong finds the corner. And Dickerson's down on strikes for the second time. Former River Bandit, Vinny Pasquantino, a former Monarch. Played for the Bandits back in 2021, their first year as a Royals affiliate. 14th strikeout in 9 2/3 innings for Armstrong this year. Now he gets Jack Pineda, who lines one towards left, but this one slices right at Yohendrick Kenyongo. That is a good swing, but out number two. Love to see the exit velocity numbers on that one. Nice opposite field swing from Pineda that will probably earn himself a pat on the back from Ryan Powers in that third base dugout, but it winds up and out. And up comes Justin Johnson. Right on right, first pitch. Fastball right there, strike one. This is Armstrong's first year in high A. Played in just 9 professional games last year after being drafted, as Johnson rips one towards left field, ranging over Pinyongo. He dives, and he makes the catch. Quad Cities cannot buy a hit tonight. And for Justin Johnson, that's been the story for him the last 24 hours. He lines one to left. Yohendrick Pinyongo takes away a knock, and quickly Quad Cities is done in their half of the fifth. 5-0 comes, one half through on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
News is, after giving up 5 runs in the first inning, Steven Zoback has settled back down for Quad Cities. Over his last 3 scoreless frames, he's allowed just 3 base runners and looks more like the Steven Zoback we saw last week when he won Midwest League Pitcher of the Week honors. The bad news is Quad Cities has not scored. Cubs still lead 5-0 as we open the bottom of the fifth. Cubs leadoff man Brett Bateman is in the box and he takes outside for ball one. Zoback, now it's 62 pitches on the night. Left-hander Ryan Ramsey has begun to toss in the bullpen. 1-0, cranked, deep right center field. Back goes Rockefort, still going back. In the alley, he jumps up and makes the catch. Really good swing from Brett Bateman. But right center field here at Four Winds Field is a cavern. And a tip of the cap to Carson Rockefort for getting all the way over there to make the catch. Brooks Conrad has been raving about Rockford's defensive ability since day one of the season. He puts him on display there. So one out, base is empty for Rafael Morel. First pitch, fastball high, ball one. Zoback, no strikeouts since that 5-run first inning. He had 2 in that inning, but none since. But he's been able to lean on the defense, which has once again been great for Quad Cities. 1-0, low and outside. The Bandits turned a season-high 3 double plays yesterday, and they've already got 2 tonight. One to help Zoback through the second, and one not long ago in the bottom of the fourth. 2-0 to Morel. Low and outside, 3-0. Zoback if he were to walk another man in this ball game, would match his career high for walks in a game with 3. That's how rarely he has these kinds of nights. The bench. That's high, ball 4. Sure enough, Morrell will reach on the free pass. 0 for 2, but he's on with the walk. And the Bandits will search for another one of those double plays. Now against Jefferson Morojas, who's seen just a couple of pitches tonight, but is 1 for 2 with an RBI single. He was first pitch swinging against Zoback in the 3rd inning, but flew out to right. Right-hander against right-hander, Zoback into the stretch. First pitch is a called strike. Good fastball at the bottom of the zone. Of course, Zoback really good at generating ground balls thanks to that split-finger changeup. And, of course, he's usually peppering the strike zone. Throw to first, close play, but back with the dive is Morrell. Last year, Zoback had a walk rate across high A and single A of just 6.4%. That's how rarely he gives the get-out-of-jail-free card. Long pause, now the 0-1. Skips in the dirt, picked out by Jensen. He looks Morrell back to first base. No activity in the Cubs bullpen. They just had Sam Armstrong pitch a scoreless top of the 5th. Starter Brody McCullough not in line for the win. He only went 4 frames, but did so scorelessly. Runner goes. 1-1 pitch is looped into left center field. It drops for a hit. Off for third base goes Morrell. He'll stop there. Now he gets the wave around. The throw goes to second. The throw from Johnson. Not in time. Jensen's tag is late. What is going on in the outfield? Lackadaisically, Quad Cities gets the ball back in, and Nick Lovello sends Morrell from first to third. Rockefeller just sort of looped it back in towards second. Justin Johnson grabbed it as quickly as he could and made a strong throw home, but Morrell gets in safely. It is 6-0 Cubs. Here's Pinyongo. Rojas takes off. The pitch outside. The throw to second into center field. But Rojas not going anywhere. Well, this is all of a sudden spun around in Quad Cities. Right when it looked like the Bandits were starting to lock in and get back to the kind of baseball we've been so used to seeing them play. Cubs jump on him again in the 5th. 1-0. There's a called strike down the middle. 1-1. So for Rojas, it's stolen base number 4 in 5 tries this year. 1 for 2 with a single today. He lines one towards left field. Gene Ramirez comes on and makes the catch. And looks the runner back to second base. By the way, no RBI for Rojas and no error for Quad Cities. It's just an aggressive play. Morrell gets the Cubs' 6th run of the game. So now a man at second, 2 outs, and Felix Stevens back to the plate for the 3rd time. 0 for 1 with a walk. Right on right, Zoback deals. Fastball sent out of play. If Zoback were to get through this inning for Quad Cities, he will have grinded out a 5-frame start, but the 6 runs he's allowed matches his career high. Last time he gave up 6 runs in a game was at Wisconsin in August last year. Here's a pick to second. It's off the glove of Johnson into shallow center field. Rojas goes into third base. Johnson tried to place the tag down too quickly. Ripped the leather down without the baseball in it. So that's probably going to be an E4. Both Bandits middle infielders who were just sparkly good yesterday. Now with an error tonight. So back. So 1 to Stevens. Fly ball gets foul onto the berm on the right side. They're going to give an error to Zoback on that throw. It's going to be an E1. Not sure I agree with that one, but that's the ruling they make tonight. 0-2 to Stevens. Swing and a miss. Got him on the split finger change. Third strikeout for Zoback, but that fifth inning, likely his last. Cubs put up 6 runs on him. Bandits defense, a little slipshod tonight as well. We go to the sixth. 6-0 South Bend.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Cubs tack on another run in their half of the fifth. They now lead Quad Cities 6-0. Bandits back to the plate against Sam Armstrong, ready to begin the sixth inning. It'll be Ramirez, Rockford, and Jensen. 3 straight lefties to face the righty Armstrong. First pitch, breaking ball in there. He called strike one. Steven Zoback likely done after 5 innings. Ryan Ramsey looks ready to go in the Bandits bullpen. 0-1. Way outside, 1-1. Ramirez, 0-for-3 with a walk and a stolen base yesterday. Flew out to left, back in the third. The pitch. Ground ball, that's past the diving Ramirez into left field. So Ramirez gets one past Ramirez. And the Bandits have just their third hit and fourth base runner of the ball game. Gene inside outs one. Past the hot corner. And Quad Cities gets a base runner. That's what they're going to need a few more of here in the second half of the game. Carson Rockefeller looking to take advantage. First pitch is fouled over the screen. Quad Cities, 3 hits in the game, 2 errors. For South Bend, 7 hits and no errors. Quad Cities now with double-digit ease on the season. They still have the fewest in the Midwest League. 0-1. Missed outside, 1-1. That has been a key thing for Quad Cities this summer. Defense has been so sharp, and when you pair that with one of the top 10 best ERAs in all of minor league baseball, you find ways to go 13-4. The pitch. Breaking ball fouled into the catcher, Hearn. It's 1-2. Rockefeller with that big, tall stance in the left-handed batter's box, hitting 214 with 2 homers and 10 driven in. Basically the everyday center fielder and leadoff hitter for Brooks Conrad. Armstrong steps off and looks Ramirez back at first. Gene, not a lethal base stealer, but he can snag you for one here and there. 2-for-2 this year, including one last night. 1-2 to Rockefeller. In the dirt. Nice stop, Ethan Hearn. And he looks back Ramirez. Quad Cities with a 13-4 record. Has its best start through 17 games in club history since at least 2005. 2-2. Wave and a miss. Strike 3 on the changeup. Second K of the ball game for both Armstrong and Rockefeller. And the One away, up comes Carter Jensen. The last time the Bandits got off to a start almost this good was 2015. We've been talking about that squad a couple of times during the Bandits stretch. First pitch outside. That year, Quad Cities started the year 12-5. One win worse than the Bandits this year, 1-0. High and away, two balls, no strikes. But they'd go on to win 88 games that season, which was the second most in franchise history, dating all the way back to pro baseball's beginnings in Davenport in the late 1800s. 2-0 cut from Jensen is fouled off the catcher, Hearn. That was an unfortunate year for the Bandits. They just decimated everyone in their path. At one point, they were like 31-8, but they wound up getting swept in the first round of the playoffs. 2-1. Big breaking ball just outside, 3-1. And of course, in the Midwest League, these playoff series, first round, just three games. So if you're swept, it's you lose back-to-back games. And, of course, in this game, that happens all the time. Postseason in baseball is tough. 3-1. That's away. Ball four. Second walk of the game for Jensen. And just the second issued by the Cubs pitching staff. So with that, Quad Cities gets a man into scoring position for just the second time in the game. Being in the sixth inning, you don't know how many more of these opportunities they'll get. So it's up to Brett Squires to try to do something about it. Brett 0-for-2 with a strikeout and a bounce out to first. He'll take one in the dirt, 1-0. I mentioned Armstrong, a former Old Dominion product, and like the starter for the Cubs, Brody McCullough, he also pitched in the Cape Cod League. He was with the Harwich Mariners. Back in 2023, made just two starts, but did not give up an earned run in 10 innings. 1-0. High, two balls, and no strikes. So he went from Old Dominion to the Cape Cod Baseball League. And then he got some pro action. Made eight appearances out of the bullpen for Myrtle Beach, and was not great, a 5.27 ERA. But they put him on the fast track to Wrigley Field. He effectively skips the Carolina League starting this summer in the MWL. And he has yet to give up any runs through what are now his first almost 15 innings. Quick meeting on the hill for Ethan Hearn. Now back behind the plate. Runners at first and second. One out. The 2-0 to Squires is swung over the top of. Changeups in the dirt. 2-1. Once again, Ryan Ramsey has resumed throwing for the Bandits. He will do his usual piggyback work behind Steven Zoback. Taking over in the bottom half of this inning once we get there. 2-1 pitch. High drive, right field corner. Going back, Morrell still sprinting near the fence. And this one will push out of play onto the berm. And a fan just took a spill trying to get to the loose ball on the hill. It's kind of a staircase berm, if you will, in right. Ramp down, plateau, ramp down, plateau. He slipped on the second stair. 2-2 to Brett. Hopped him up. Left side of the infield, third baseman Ramirez into foul ground. To the left of the chalk, he leans backwards and makes the catch, falling into fair territory. Had that ball landed, it would have been fair. An adventurous snag for Pedro Ramirez. He's charging in towards the Bandits dugout, then took about a 90-degree turn and fell over, lunging for the ball to his left. Nonetheless, it's just a P5 in the book. Two outs, two men on for Cale Emschoff, who takes a slider for a called strike. Cale has the only extra base hit for Quad Cities tonight. A double off the wall in left field back in the fourth. A one on its way. Fastball off the glove of Hearn towards the Bandits dugout. Both Ramirez and Jensen are going to move up on what I'm sure is going to be ruled a pass ball. Hearn and Armstrong almost tied up on the sides. Hearn was not looking for that two-seamer. Cale Emshoff, the catcher himself, laughing with Hearn. Sort of eavesdropping on the conversation. So this is a big two-out RBI spot for the Bandits. They trail 6-0. Two men in scoring position. The 1-1 to Cale is fouled into the Bandits' dugout. It's 1-2. Nice big crowd. Settled in for the middle innings tonight. Sun setting over the left side of the ballpark. 1-2. Another foul ball. The slider is pulled towards A.J. Block, who I believe has the bullpen protective duties tonight. He's over in front of Omar Hernandez, who was the catcher yesterday. Hit that big three-run homer that got the Bandits the win. Another two-strike toss. Elevated heat, not chased by Emshoff. Two balls, two strikes. Well, get your dice ready. Deuce is wild in the top of the sixth. Two runners on, two outs, and a 2-2 count on Emshoff. Armstrong sets at the belt, takes a deep breath, fires, and gets a swing and a miss. Emshoff got a piece of the slider, but it's held on to by Hearn, and that is the end of the inning. Three strikeouts and two scoreless frames for Armstrong. The Bandits strand two in scoring position and trail 6-0 through 5.5. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with the events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Home half of the sixth inning underway in Four Winds Field. The southpaw Ryan Ramsey will work in relief of Steven Zoback. Quad City starter didn't have his best stuff tonight, but gave up the vast majority of his six runs in the first inning. Cubs scored five in the opening frame, and then Zoback gave up just one run the remainder of the game. He gives up a career-high six on seven hits, three walks, three strikeouts. Ramsey's first pitch to Pedro Ramirez is poked out of play. Six, seven, eight due up for South Bend. Ramirez, the switch hitter, batting right-handed for the first time tonight. He swings away 0-1 and fouls it off the netting on the right side. 0-2. Ramsey's off to a good start this season for the Bandits. He's given up three earned runs in eight innings. But all three of those runs were given up last week against Peoria over three frames. 0-2. Slider inside. Now belt high. Pedro leans out of the way. Picked up an RBI on a force out back in the first, then walked in the fourth. The pitch lined over the leaping Squires into right field. Ramirez on for a third time today. And the Cubs continue to pick up hits. They've out-hit Quad Cities in this series despite losing each of the first two games. But their offense, paired with some good pitching tonight, has put them in a 6-0 advantage. Part of that 6-0 advantage, courtesy of Jonathan Long, who had a two-run homer in the first inning. He's at the plate now. Ramsey into the stretch. He fires, and Long lines one to right field. In comes Dickey. He makes the catch, and Ramirez retreats to first. Good opposite field swing for Long, but it hangs up in the air too much. Jared hauls it in, and it will bring up Ethan Hearn with one away and a man still at first base. Ramsey wearing number 41 for Quad Cities, 23 years old, from Gaithersburg, Maryland. A 13th round pick out of the University of Maryland a few years ago. Left on left against Hearn, Ramsey delivers. Fastball chopped on the ground, softly to second. Johnson Fields flipped to Dickerson, is actually off the runner Ramirez. Everybody is safe. Ramirez up the second, safe at first, Ethan Hearn. Bandits middle infield, after being phenomenal last night, has really struggled today. Johnson charged, gloved, and then ended up straight behind Ramirez, tried to throw it to Dickerson, but it went off the helmet of the base runner. So first and second. One out for Ravaj Garcia. Switch inning second baseman, of course, batting right-handed. The pitch. Fastball, a called strike. So it's going to be another error on Quad Cities, their third. They've almost got half as many errors in this ball game as they had all season coming in. 0-1. Foul back to the screen. No balls, two strikes. Just uncharacteristic stuff for Quad Cities this evening. Steven Zoback struggling to the tune of six runs. Next pitch fouled away. Garcia reaches the bat out and fouls it over the netting. Pitching and defense, the hallmarks of Quad Cities' success to start the year. Both things struggling tonight. That's all right, though. Ramsey looks to second. Another 0-2. This one jams him. It's blooped to shallow right field. It's past Squires. It lands. Up to third base goes Ramirez, and the bases are loaded for the Cubs. Everything falling right now for South Bend. That time a blooped single, and Squires may have knocked the wind out of himself trying to lay out for the little looping pop-up, if you will. Man, oh man, Garcia just jammed on the knuckles. And he somehow puts it between Johnson, Squires, and Dickey. Infield in for Quad Cities. The corner's in. Double play depth for the middle infield as Brett Bateman takes a pitch outside. They're all loaded up for the Cubs. They already lead 6-0. Bateman looking to add insult to injury. 1-for-3 with a double today. 1-0. Foul ball into glove of Jensen. A swinging strike one. Bateman, an eighth round pick out of Minnesota last year by the Cubs. Ramsey sets at the chest and deals. Foul ball off Jensen again. One ball, two strikes. No activity in the Cubs bullpen. Sam Armstrong has thrown couple of scoreless frames in relief of their starter, Brody McCullough. New baseball in hand for Ramsey. He gets the sign from Jensen. 1-2 pitch. In the dirt with a breaking ball. It's knocked down by Jensen. Quad Cities will meet up with these Cubs again tomorrow night. The final night game of the six-game series. 7:05 first pitch. 2-2. Up and in with the heat, full count. Frank Mazzucato will start for Quad Cities, his third start of the year. He's yet to give up a run. Drew Gray, who the Bandits saw on opening weekend at Modern Woman Park, will start for South Bend. He is 0-1 with a 2.25 earned run average. Should be another great pitching matchup. Ramsey trying to get out of a bases loaded jam. The payoff pitch to Bateman. Ground ball up the middle. It's snagged by Johnson. Flipped to Dickerson for one. Over to Squires. A double play. Third of the ball game for the Quad Cities River Bandits. They've got six in the last two games against the South Bend Cubs. That's how you get out of a jam. Cubs still in front. 6-0. We go to the seventh on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Ready to begin the seventh inning in Four Winds Field. The South Bend Cubs still in front of the Bandits, 6-0. Well, with a discounted beer night in a college town, you're going to get quite the crowd and an excited crowd at that. Stands have filled up nicely with a whole bunch of Notre Dame students as Jared Dickey's first pitch swinging and sends one in the air to right field. That's an easy catch for Morrell. And the can of corn grab is out number one. In between innings, they showed up on the Jumbotron, a group of fans who were holding up a sign that said they were trying the 9x9x9 challenge tonight, which includes consuming 9 adult beverages, 9 hot dogs. Here's the first pitch to Dustin Dickerson. It's inside, ball one. And then the third task they needed to complete was 9 baseballs. I'm not really sure what that means. Maybe 9 runs? 1-0. Up and inside, 2-0. That said, they were at 8 hot dogs, and they just put up the 9th beer sticker. So the fans went wild for that. 2-0. Up and in, 3-0 on Dickerson. Dusty's had a tough night. An error in the field and an 0-for-2 with a pair of strikeouts, but he's in the driver's seat against Armstrong, who's only given up 2 base runners. The pitch. Fastball on the outer edge, called strike one. Bandits are being out hit 9-3. They've made 3 errors to the Cubs, none. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike 2. Dickerson may have chased a fastball a bit up. And just like that, the count is full, and Armstrong is back in the driver's seat. Payoff pitch inside. It brushes past Dickerson. Thought for a moment that he had gotten hit on the helmet, but not the case. And he will reach. So Dusty continues to work a bunch of walks. He's got 8 in 13 games this year. And he will put a man on in front of Jack Pineda. I don't think I could complete the 9x9x9 challenge. 2 hot dogs would make me feel like I've eaten 9. First pitch. Breaking ball, a bit low to Pineda. Also, 9 beers at one game would be cause for concern. They'd have to wheel me out of here. The pitch. Foul ball off Hearn. Rolls towards the first base dugout. Pineda 0 for 2. Double play ball and a fly ball tonight. Jacketing his second career start at third base while Trevor Werner continues to be on the mend. Armstrong delivers. Fastball right down the middle, a called strike two. Dickerson over at first base. One stolen base and two tries this year. Quad Cities does not have a stolen base tonight. That's pretty rare for them. 1-2, chased in the dirt, strike three. Pineda had no business hitting that one, but he goes fishing and comes up with nothing. Two down in the top of the seventh inning. It's been a completely different story for Quad Cities on the base paths this year compared to what they did last season. This summer, the Bandits have gone high risk, high reward, as opposed to conservative and efficient last year. First pitch to Justin Johnson, gets a swing and a miss. It's a fastball, strike one. Quad Cities leads the Midwest League with 41 stolen bags this year, but they've also been caught 12 times, a mark which also leads the league. A one. Slider taps softly up the middle, charging is Rojas. He fields and fires a bullet to first, and that ends the inning. Quad Cities gets a one-out walk from Dustin Dickerson, but he's stranded. The Bandits have not scored through seven innings. 6-0 Cubs. Time to stretch here at Four Winds Field.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Well, they call it a seventh inning stretch. It's more of a seventh inning dance party here at Four Winds Field tonight. College students finally starting to see the effects of all the discounted beer that they've consumed over the 6.5 frames tonight. Cubs on top of the Bandits, 6-0. Rafael Morel leads off the bottom of the seventh and swings through a Ryan Ramsey slider for strike one. 2-3-4 doing for the Cubs. Morel 0 for 2 with a walk today. Here's the pitch. Ground ball back up the middle. Another knock for South Bend. That is their 10th of the game. Back-to-back games with 10 hits for South Bend. Yesterday, they scored just 2 runs on 10 hits. Tonight, they've had 3 hits with runners in scoring position and a 2-run homer for Jonathan Long to help boost the run output. Now, the Bandits obviously have given up 6 runs tonight, but the bevy of base runners has been somewhat quieted by 3 more double plays. Ramsey will look for a 4th as Jefferson Rojas strides in and takes outside for ball 1. Rojas with a couple of singles plus an RBI. He also swiped 2nd base back in the 5th inning. Squires holds Morel at 1st. The southpaw Ramsey deals the 1-0, and the fastball is cut on and missed. for strike one. Only one game has gone final in the Midwest League tonight. Still plenty of action to keep tabs on. A couple of different shutouts brewing aside from this one here. Runner goes. 1-1 is fouled off Jensen's glove. Morrell goes back to first base. First off, the game that's gone final, the Lansing Lugnuts put up a sixth spot in the sixth inning to beat the Dayton Dragons tonight, 9-4 at Jackson Field. In terms of shutouts, Lake County currently leads West Michigan 3-0 in the top of the ninth. They're trying to shut the door at LMCU Ballpark. 1-2 to Rojas. Ground ball to third. It's picked up by Pineda. He'll go to second for the Bandits' only out. One hit too slowly to turn two. So Morrell retired 5-4 on the fielder's choice, and Rojas takes his place at first. Over in Fort Wayne, the Loons are blanking the Tin Caps, who have just one hit tonight. 4-0 Great Lakes going to the bottom of the seventh. So three different shutout possibilities in the Midwest League tonight, including one at Four Winds Field. South Bend leads the Bandits 6-0. Left on left, Johendrik Pinyango steps in. Ramsey fires over to first, but Rojas is back standing. In terms of games that are not shutout possibilities, the Cedar Rapids Colonels are on top of the Beloit Sky Carp, 4-1 over in Eastern Iowa. They're in the top of the seventh there. The pitch. Called strike on the slider. Sky Carp and Colonels actually playing a doubleheader tonight. Remember, their game on Tuesday rained out. So in the top of the seventh, which is the final inning in game one, Colonels lead 4-1. They'll play game two approximately an hour after the conclusion of that one. 0-1. Low and inside from Ramsey. One ball, one strike. And then the other update comes from Peoria, where the Chiefs just tied the game against the Timber Rattlers. It's 3-3 at Dozer Park. They're in the bottom of the fifth. 1-1. Slider called strike on the lower outside corner. Pinyango didn't like the call. It's 1-2. Johendrik extended his on-base streak to a league-best 12 games with a single in the first inning. Also scored a run. He has not reached since. Ramsey's 1-2 pitch. Slider in the dirt. Gobbled up by Jensen. Steven Zoback was Quad City's starter tonight. He was still able to manage five innings, but gave up a career-high matching six runs on seven hits with three walks and three strikeouts. The lefties 2-2 will have to wait. He throws to first, and Rojas is back standing. That's the second pickoff move used by Ramsey in this at-bat. So if he were to throw over again, he would need to pick off the runner, or it would be a balk. Now the 2-2. Swing and a miss. Got him on a slider. First strike out of the ball game for Ryan Ramsey. And there are two away. So that brings up Felix Stevens. A man at first base and two outs. Comes leading 6-0. Lefty keeps working out of the stretch with the man on. Peek over to first. Now the pitch. Cut on and missed. A good changeup. Got Stevens chasing low and away for strike one. This is the second time this year Ramsey's pitched against the Cubs. He threw against South Bend in game two of the season on April 6th. 0-1. Fouled into the netting. Two strikes on Stevens. Ramsey gave up a run, but it was unearned. Over the course of a three-inning relief outing, plus four strikeouts, Ramsey's had at least four strikeouts in each of his first three appearances this year, but he has four tonight, or excuse me, he has just one through an inning and two-thirds tonight. 0-2 to Stevens. Low and away. This time, Felix lays off. In the eighth inning, Bandits will have Gene Ramirez and then the top of the order. And it's just three hits tonight. They've worked two walks. I beg your pardon, three walks. Another throw to first. Rojas back standing. No tag. Felix 0-for-2 with a pop-up and a strikeout. He reached via walk in the first inning but did not score. 1-2 from Ramsey. No, he picks to first. Runner takes off. Squires throws to Johnson, and the tag is placed on Rojas to end the inning. Quad Cities picks off a base runner for the fifth time this season. The first for Ryan Ramsey. It's a pickoff and a caught stealing to help Ryan through a scoreless seventh inning. We go to the eighth. The Bandits need some runs, and they need them quick. It's 6-0 Cubs.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
River Bandits are 6 outs away from being shut out for the first time this season. South Bend has them up 6-0 in the top of the eighth inning. Gene Ramirez leads it off against Sam Armstrong, who begins his fourth inning of work out of the bullpen. First pitch fastball is outside, 1-0. Gene 1-for-2, a single back in the sixth, which he slapped past Ramirez. Wave and a miss on the slider. It's 1-1. Pedro Ramirez, the Cubs' third baseman, now playing a step behind the grass, a bit in on the left side. 1-1, low and inside. Gene gets his feetsies out of the way. Now we've got an update on the 9x9x9. 2-1. Fouled off Gene. 2 balls, 2 strikes. I believe it was completed. Oh, he's got 9 beers. And 9 hot dogs, but he is 1 baseball shy. Maybe that's the inning. That makes sense. It's what inning they're in. And the young man has already got the belt. 2-2 is outside. Full count on Ramirez. He's got the WWE belt, which he's now holding up in front of the television cameras here. He's imploring the rest of his section to stand up and cheer with him. 3-2. Is bounced back to Armstrong. He'll flip to first in time for the out. One down. Feels more like a college party tonight here at Four Winds Field, but I guess minor league games aren't too far away from that. But when you're in a college town like South Bend, Indiana, and you offer discounted beer, well, that's what you're going to get. It's been really fun tonight. For the Bandits, not so much. Here's Carson Rockefort. He takes a slider for a called strike. Bandits have really not been in a game like this season. Rocco swings away. 0-1 comes up empty. Little slider. 0-2. Normally it's Quad Cities keeping the zero up on the board, but tonight the South Bend Cubs, who have been statistically the worst pitching staff in the league, have really locked it down. Rockefort already with 2 strikeouts already as he takes a fastball away, 1-2. Quad Cities was shut out 8 times last year. They have not been blanked once this season. 1-2. Tapper foul, Rockefort stays alive. We already gave you some updates from around the Midwest League, and of course we'll check back in with those during the River Bandits postgame show. But let's check in with the rest of the Kansas City Royals farm system as Rockefort steps back into the box. Armstrong deals. 1-2, swing and a miss, strike three. Once again, Rockefeller chases high. And that's the fifth strikeout for Armstrong, the third for Rockefeller. He's now struck out 8 times in his first 3 games this week. And it feels like more often than not, it's been that elevated fastball. Here's Carter Jensen, the batter. First pitch. Down the middle, a called strike. At the single-A level, the Fireflies trail the Augusta Green Jackets 6-1 in the top of the 8th inning at Segra Park. 0-1 to Jensen, low and inside. Northwest Arkansas is tied up with Tulsa. They're in the bottom of the 4th at Oklahoma, 2-2. The pitch just outside, 2-1. Chandler Champlain is getting the start for the Naturals tonight. He's got 6 strikeouts in 3 innings. The pitch. Popped him up, center of the infield. Should be an easy one. Rojas calls everybody off, makes the catch, and the inning is over. Sam Armstrong cruises through a 1-2-3 top of the 8th. It's been all South Bend tonight. 6-0 Cubs, bottom of the 8th next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
South Bend looking to add to its 6-0 lead as we enter the bottom of the 8th inning. Cubs have been in control since they put up a 5 spot in the first. Ryan Ramsey looking to continue a scoreless relief outing. He's put up a couple of zeros in 2 frames out of the bullpen. Starts off the 8th inning against Felix Stevens. Drops in a breaking ball for strike 1. He was at the plate when Rojas was picked off and caught stealing to end Ramsey's last frame. 0-1, low, 1-1. So for Stevens, he gets to play a mulligan of sorts. A fresh count for him. Third pitch in the at-bat. Line down the right field line, but slicing foul into the Cubs' bullpen. And then snagged out of the air on one hop by a Cubs reliever. That was about as nonchalant as it gets. Stevens, Ramirez, long due up. Felix back in the box. Ramsey looking for his second strikeout. 1-2. He gets it. Change up low and away. Stevens chases. And there is one down in the 8th. Quad Cities can get a scoreless outing from Ryan Ramsey. And perhaps a run or two in the late innings. At least get some positive momentum going on to tomorrow as Pedro Ramirez somehow fouls off a pitch near his eyeballs. Tried to check his swing and wound up punching it over the first base dugout. He's had a great night. An RBI, a walk, and a single. As he fouls one off of Jensen's mitt a little more conventionally. 0-2. With Quad Cities needs just one win to at least split this 6-game series against the Cubs. It is the first leg of a two-week road trip for the Bandits, their first of two this year. Ramsey's 0-2 pitch. Popped him up, center of the infield. Second baseman Justin Johnson, all by himself, makes the catch, and there are two away. So Ramirez has held off the base paths for the first time. And with two outs, here comes Justin Long. Make that Jonathan Long. Cubs first baseman, who, since hitting that two-run homer in the first, is skied out to right field in each of his last two plate appearances. Ramsey back, ready to work from the third base side of the rubber. His bench. Hit him. That caught Long just on his forearm. That was a nonchalant hit batsman. He barely reacted, but David Sabol very quickly identified that pitch had hit the batter. Just skimmed what looks like the pad on his elbow. Now taking a look at the replay. So Ramsey will go left on left against Ethan Hearn and miss with a slider. Cubs catcher, 1-for-3, a single back in the fourth. Batting just 200 to start the year. Former Terrapins, 1-0. Wave and a miss. This time he gets a cut on the slider. By the way, needed to finish the scoreboard in the Royals farm system. We got through NWA in Columbia, but at the AAA level, the Storm Chasers trail the Indianapolis Indians 2-1 in the bottom of the sixth at Warner Park. Hearn fouls one back to the screen. Omaha 13-10. They've been on a bit of a skid lately. But everybody minus Northwest Arkansas. Over 500 to start the year in the Royals farm system, and the Naturals are 8-9. They're right there. 1-2. Swing and a miss on a changeup. Three strikeouts in three scoreless innings for Ryan Ramsey. That's going to likely be the silver lining. What's been a tough night for the Bandits. They go to the ninth for their final at-bats. It's 6-0 Cubs. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Top of the ninth inning in South Bend. Last call for the Bandits. Cubs in front 6-0. Looking to shut out the Bandits for what would be their first shutout loss this year. Brett Squires leads it off. He takes outside for ball one. Sam Armstrong still doing the pitching for the Cubs out of the bullpen. He's looking to complete his fifth scoreless. 1-0. Fastball a bit too high. Maybe up. Cubs do have a lefty throwing in the bullpen should Armstrong need some help getting out of this inning. He's already over 60 pitches. 2-0, way outside with the slider. It's 3-0. Squires has not reached base today. He's 0-for-3 with a strikeout. The pitch. Fastball right down the middle, 3-1. Make sure you stick around for tonight's River Bandits post-game show. As the 3-1 sails in, and his foul back to the screen. We'll give the final numbers from this one, and then check out the finals from around the Midwest League and the Royals farm system. And tell you what's coming up tomorrow night at Four Winds Field. Payoff pitch slapped away. Squire stays alive. As I was mentioning earlier, Frank Mazzucato will get the start for Quad Cities against Drew Gray. Battle between a couple of organizational top 30 prospects. 3-2 to Squires is a beautiful slider, and he's down on strikes, swinging for the first out. For Armstrong, that is 6 Ks, a new season high. He fell down in the count 3-0 and then threw 4 straight strikes to get the out. So here's Emshoff, 1-for-3 with a couple of Ks and a double. First pitch to him is right there, strike one. Cubs holding the Bandits to 6 base runners tonight. 3 hits, 3 walks. The pitch. Broken bat roller softly hit towards short. Rojas charges gloves, throws on the move to first in plenty of time. He unloads the cannon and gets Emshoff by 2 or 3 steps. Man, he has got a strong arm. He leads the Midwest League in errors with 8. He's had a couple of miscues on easy plays to start the year, but then he makes something like that, and you can see why he's so highly rated. Jared Dickey, the last hope for Quad Cities. 2 outs, bases empty. He'll take a strike at the knees. Dickey 1-for-3, a single back in the second. Here's the pitch. That's low. 1-1. Armstrong comes in again. That's high and away. As I was mentioning earlier, the silver lining for the Bandits will be Ryan Ramsey tonight. 3 scoreless innings out of the pen. 3 hits, 3 Ks. He's lowered his ERA on the season to 2.45. Working as a piggyback starter behind Steven Zoback. 2-1 to Dickey. Fastball called, strike, lower outside corner. And it's 2-2. Bandits down to their last strike. Armstrong turns and fires. Fastball just inside. He thought it was game over. Armstrong already walking in towards the catcher, but nope. Dickey will see at least one more pitch. The count runs full. Cubs fans on their feet. The payoff. Fouled over the screen. We'll do it again. Jared Dickey, never an easy strikeout. 11 Ks in 46 at-bats to begin the year, but great contact skills showcased early in his high A career. Another 3-2. That's outside, ball 4. So Dickey refuses to be the last man out tonight. He'll go down to first base as only the second Bandit to reach multiple times tonight. And now Nick Lovello's going out to the hill. He's going to go grab Armstrong. So South Bend will make a pitching change with 2 outs in the top of the 9th. And they will seek some help for the final outs. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Chase Watkins, the lefty. He's in out of the bullpen for Nick Lovello, looking for the final out here in the top of the ninth. Cubs with the lead firmly in hand. They lead 6-0, but Sam Armstrong had hit his pitch count. Dustin Dickerson at the plate for the Bandits. He'll take ball one inside. Sixth outing of the year for Watkins, a 2.70 ERA, 16 strikeouts to just 3 walks in those 10 innings. 1-0 pitch, low and in. Jared Dickey was the last man to face Armstrong. Worked a full count walk to keep the game going, but Armstrong right now went 4 2/3 scoreless tonight. Watkins 2-0. Slider, check swing. He went around. It's strike one. Of course, Armstrong still responsible for Dickey, but he's in line for the win tonight. Pitched really well in relief of Brody McCullough, the Cubs starter, who was almost even better. 2-1 pitch. Inside. 3-1 count. Watkins, the big lefty. 6'4", 215 pounds. 24 years old out of Watsonville, California. Former Oregon State man. 3-1 to Dusty. That's low. Ball four. So the on-base percentage is going up for Quad Cities here in the ninth inning. Dickerson gets his second walk of the game. And he now has 9 on the season. So now Watkins will go left on left against Jack Pineda. By the way, this ninth inning marks the first time the Bandits have had 2 men on since the 6th inning and just their 2nd time tonight overall. It's been that kind of a dominant game for the Cubs. First pitch to Pineda is a swing and a miss on a slider. Well, low and outside. 0-1. These rowdy fans that have stuck around through tonight's game open for one more cheer before they head back to their dorm rooms. 0-1. Slider in there, a called strike, top of the zone. And once again, Quad Cities is down to its last strike. Runners at first and second, 2 away. Watkins sets just above the belt and looks in towards Pineda. 0-2. Ground ball softly hit back up the middle. The shortstop, Rojas Gloves, fires to first and ends the ball game. Quad Cities is shut out for the first time this season. They fall on a Thursday night in South Bend, 6-0. Cubs get their first win of the week. They'll look to even up the series tomorrow night. And of course, we'll have all the details for that game next on the River Bandits post-game show. Stick around for the final numbers and one more look around the Midwest League and the Royals farm system. South Bend winners, 6-0.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
For the final time tonight, we welcome you back to Four Winds Field here in South Bend, Indiana, where Quad City suffers its first shutout loss of the season and just their fifth loss on the year. Final score 6-0. Cubs in command throughout pretty much the duration of this one. A 5-run first against Steven Zoback, 1 run in the fifth against Steven Zoback, and then nothing else. And for the Cubs pitching staff, they hold the Bandits to just 3 hits and 5 walks. 8 total base runners for the Bandits tonight, and they only got 1 to third base. Here's the final line score for you. River Bandits, no runs, 3 hits, 3 errors. 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. They leave 7 on base. For the Cubs, 6 runs, 10 hits, no errors. They go 3-for-9 with men in scoring position and strand 5. The winning pitcher tonight is Sam Armstrong, who pitched very well in relief of the starter Brody McCullough. He goes 4 2/3, giving up just 1 hit and 3 walks with 6 strikeouts. He improves to 1-0 on the young year. The loss to Steven Zoback, Quad City starter and the reigning Midwest League Pitcher of the Week. He falls to 1-1, giving up all 6 runs on 7 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Zoback still able to grind out 5 frames and save the bullpen a bit tonight. That was the silver lining for Quad Cities. The only man out of the bullpen, Ryan Ramsey, who in his usual piggyback starter capacity went 3 scoreless, working around 3 hits with no walks and 3 strikeouts. For the Cubs, Brody McCullough, their starter, 4 scoreless innings, 4 strikeouts, just 3 base runners allowed. And, of course, Chase Watkins came on for the final out in the top of the ninth inning. He walked Dustin Dickerson to keep the game going, but then got Jack Pineda to ground out softly and put a bow on it. Final time of the ballgame tonight, 2 hours and 12 minutes, with 4,485 rowdy fans through the gate here at Four Winds Field. Offensively for Quad Cities, not much to discuss tonight. Only a couple of Bandits reached multiple times. Those were Carter Jensen, Jared Dickey, and Dustin Dickerson. All of those guys reached base multiple times with at least 1 walk. Jensen walked twice, Dickerson walked twice, and Dickey went 1-for-3 with a single and a walk himself. Let's take a look one more time at the out-of-town scoreboard here in the Midwest League. Just a couple of games still going on, and of course Cedar Rapids and Beloit still have the second game of their doubleheader. But at the games that have gone final, Cedar Rapids gets its 9th win of the season. They win game 1 of their doubleheader over Beloit 4-2. The Lake County Captains do not complete the shutout. The Whitecaps get on the board in the 9th, but Lake County wins 4-1 at LMCU Ballpark. And in Lansing, the Lugnuts use that 6-run 6th to beat the Dayton Dragons 9-4. Game still going on, Wisconsin and Peoria. The Timber Rattlers, who had a 3-1 lead, saw it tied up in the 5th inning when Peoria struck for a couple of runs, but the Rattlers right back in front. They scored 2 in the top of the 7th to take a 5-3 lead in the bottom of the 7th. And in Fort Wayne, the Tin Caps avoid the shutout. They score a run in the bottom of the 7th inning, but they still trail the Loons. It's 4-1 in the bottom of the 8th. If you still haven't gotten your fix of Midwest League Baseball, there is still the Colonels and Sky Carps second game of the doubleheader. That should be coming up here very soon on Bally Live and MILB TV. We're the only game that's gone final in the Kansas City Royals farm system tonight. The Single A Columbia Fireflies are getting close. They trail Augusta 6-1 in the top of the 9th inning. At the Double A level, Northwest Arkansas and Tulsa are still tied. It's 2-2 in the bottom of the 5th. And in Omaha, a 2-2 score between the Storm Chasers and the Indianapolis Indians. The Chasers just tied it up in the bottom of the 6th. They're now heading to the bottom of the 7th. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be back with game 4 of this 6-game series tomorrow night here at Four Winds Field. A 7:05 first pitch scheduled. Left-hander Frank Mazzucato, a top prospect in the Royals system, will get the start. He has yet to give up a run in his few outings this year. He'll go up against fellow lefty and a Cubs top 30 prospect, Drew Gray. He's 0-1 with a 2.25. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight at Four Winds Field. It was Cubs from first pitch. They beat the Bandits 6-0. It's Quad City's first loss of the year, their first shutout loss of the year, their 5th overall. They fall to 13-5 and 6-3 on the road. For the Cubs, they improve to 5-13. They make up a game on the Bandits. They're still 8 games back for the division lead, and they're now 3-6 here at home. They snap their small 2-game skid. My name is Kyle Kercheval. Wherever you tuned in from tonight, thanks so much for doing so. We hope to see you same time, same place tomorrow night for game 4 of this 6-game series. Bandits with a chance to guarantee themselves at least a split. Until then, so long and good night from South Bend.